hasn't been all that warm.
26 to lead us in the flag salute this evening. And if you would remain standing, Pastor Richard Sharn is here. It's been a while, but he's come back to visit, and he'll be doing our invocation this evening. Good evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we recognize the greatness of the God that we serve, who hears our prayers and gives us wisdom from above. Hallowed be thy name. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you that sits upon the throne of righteousness. Thy kingdom come. You do rule and reign in majesty over all the earth, sea, and sky. We need you to be the Lord of our lives and of our world in this crucial time of history. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We confess that too many times we get bogged down in our own affairs, and we forget to look to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Give us this day our daily bread. You, Lord, are the bread of life, the provider of our needs, and have richly blessed us all with your presence and faithfulness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A forgiving heart is a heart of love, like you have, our Father, even when wrongs seem oh so strong. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Personally, and as a city, county, and country, that is our prayer. We need your direction and protection. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May we give you the rightful place in our lives, and our constant prayer should be that of praise to our Savior. Please give wisdom to the council this evening, and always as they seek the best for our cities and the people of the Central Coast. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor.
Jeff? So that's pretty much it for the summer.
Okay, good. Anything else?
No.
Is Mr. Silva still the scout master?
Yeah, he's in Northern Tier right now, though. So.
Oh, okay, well, you make sure and pass on our very best to Mr. Silva. And we appreciate all the good things that you do for the community.
All right.
So thanks for being here.
All right, thank you.
Okay. That takes us to item 5, special presentations. And we do indeed have two very special presentations this evening, and I'm going to step down from the dais to present those. Step down gingerly, I might add. It's an inside joke. My daughter tells me I'm too old to be playing softball, and
she's
at this
right.
Point in time, I'm certain that she was right. I have the pleasure this evening once again to recognize members of our community who have stepped forward to support the Let There Be Lights program here in the village. And for those of you who watch the council meetings or have been in and around the village or active in city programs, you know that the beautiful lights that are going up in and around the village, the street lights, are as a result of community support and volunteerism. The program wouldn't be here without those two very important elements. And tonight, once again, we have members of the community who have stepped forward very generously and allowed us to continue on with this program. The program here in the city has been coordinated by our community development director, Rob Strong, who's here this evening, and I'll ask him to say a few words in a moment. But for now, we do want to present a mayor's commendation to, first of all, Sandy and Cindy Lubin. So if you would step forward, welcome Sandy back as a former council member and friend. and his wife Cindy, who is really the brains behind all of that. But we welcome her this evening as well. And Sandy and Cindy, it's my pleasure to present this to you. It's a mayor's commendation recognition of your generous contribution for the Village Streetlight Let There Be Lights program. And it's dated this 25th day of July, 2006. It's a pleasure to present this to you.
Thank you. Thanks.
To Rob, and make sure that Mr. Murphy receives it, but we did want to recognize him this evening as well. Rob?
Thank you.
Thanks.
I did leave voicemails and coordinated with the office of James Murphy to try and have him here this evening. You probably know that he's the owner of the office building on both sides of the council chambers, one under restoration, one that has been restored previously, and busy. He was out of town for much of July, so this was an attempt to get him here. I will make sure that he receives this. We're about two-thirds the way through phase three donations, thanks to the volunteers who stepped forward. We're starting to get some pretty good press, as well as the council recognition of the donations being received, and I'm confident that we will complete the phase three installation by the time we get to Harvest Festival or closely thereafter. So our attempt at this point is to get PG&E to come in and replace the rest of the lights between Short Street and Crown Hill on Branch Street, and then we'll move on. Thank you again.
Thank you, Rob, for all your hard work. Okay, that takes us to item six, agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented tonight be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item seven, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward and address items that are not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would invite people to come forward with any comments, suggestions, recommendations. Once again, items not on this evening's agenda, we would ask that you abide by the three-minute rule and please address the council as a whole. Anyone who would like to come forward, this is an opportunity.
My name is Ariel Hulu. I do own a business on 121 East Branch Street in the village of Arroyo Grande. Mr. Mayor, gentlemen of the councils, thank you for allowing me to opportunity to speak to you tonight about a project we're very excited about. We've always stood for the preservation, the beautification, for the improvement, the vitality of the business district. And one of the things we always hear about is, oh, wish there are some trees. And we talked about that some time ago. I don't know if you remember this idea at one time. And then I was looking in my note, the first time we talked about tree, Mr. Steve Adam and Mr. Rob Strong were very, very involved in this. And by the way, we really appreciate them. You have wonderful staff here. I'm sure you're very proud of them, and we are very proud to be part of that and work with them. They're gracious and accommodating and very nice to work with. July 26th of 01, tomorrow will be 5 years since we've been talking about the trees, and the project called Street Village Streetscape Enhancement Project. And it was put together by under the advice and direction of Mr. Adam and Mr. Strong, and the city applied for a grant through SLOCOG. And the money was on hold for quite some time due to state budget. Finally, the money looks like imminent. It will be here. And so we all fired up, and we start to do the project that we thought we are. The pots we've always maintained, and we decided to go ahead with coordination with staff to change the planters into putting trees. And Caltrans suggested ficus trees, and we brought you an example right here. of the tree that is, this is the miniature one. We planted 13 of them last Sunday morning. We had a group of volunteers that were very anxious to start, and they did really, really well. And as a matter of fact, Chief Isle was one of the first one with a shovel, and he's going to throw me out of the neighborhood because I woke him up too early. I'm not sure where he is now. But he was there, and he was so gracious to work with us and help us plant the 13 trees. Those 13 trees are approximately 6 foot tall. They are, I Googled that, I think deciduous, and they're supposed to stay green and what have you. The we planted 13 only in the area from 115 Branch to Short Street, and as an experiment, see how people feel about it and get some comment and see how well they do, and also as practice run for us. The tree, so in those new pots, we'll put the newer tree. Pretty soon, hopefully, we're going to start doing that. And those, the new one, the newer tree, or the other size of the trees are 10 feet tall. And so we're going to mix those here and there. We're going to keep those, but we'll mix them with the tall one. We're going to have a maximum impact. We've been working with a gentleman by the name John Godfrey from Benjoy, and he has been really a joy to work with. Gracious, generous. He's given us the trees at cost, delivering. He brought the soil. He felt Sunday that we need some flowers, so he went and brought us flats of flowers, and he gave them to us, and we decorated the base of the tree, and they look really very pretty. We're hearing a lot of nice comment on that. This would be, the trees are purchased as a gift, actually, from the Village Association to the community and the city from our own money that... Some people don't like the Strawberry Festival, but this is the money that out of the Strawberry Festival. That's what we do in the village with some of that money, among other things. And so we're very excited about that. That's going to happen. We ordered 55 trees today, the tall one, and those are going to be placed temporarily in the existing pots and wait for the second phase, which will be hopefully when the new pots arrive. I'm not sure about the date. But we're very excited. We could hardly wait. Steve and Mr. Strong, they said, calm down, calm down. You're getting too excited. I am very excited about the project. So this is our part that we do always, and our partnership with the city. We're very proud to be part of it. We're pleased to see that become reality. Any question? I'll be happy to answer.
Questions? Where do you sign up to plant trees?
With me or Bob. Yeah, would love to have you. Would like to invite you. Perhaps there will be a day when we actually plant the trees permanently in the new pots. I think there is a little more organized system that's going to, in a day, perhaps, and you are going to be invited, and we need your blessing when we do that. So thank you.
Good.
Any
thank
more
you.
Questions? You're welcome.
Appreciate it, Eddie. Once again, I want to underscore a comment that Eddie made a moment ago for anyone who might be watching, and that is that the grant money that is forthcoming from SLOCOG can only be used for the purposes that Eddie described, no other use. So wanted to underscore the fact that it was intended for that purpose. So, and I don't know what the village and the community would do without the two of you, and I really appreciate the effort that both of you have put forth. So, and when it comes time to get the shovels out, maybe we put the word out citywide and get some staff volunteers, and I know there'd be a lot of folks that would want to help. So we'll look forward to it. Thanks.
As far as timing, Mayor, we've ordered some kind of test pots right now, so we can put them out there for a while and see how they look, and that'll probably be September, and then we'll probably have everything, all the orders in around November sometime. So,
okay, good. Target that time for any other community comments? Again, items not published on this evening's agenda. Okay, if not, we will close community comments, and that takes us to item 8, which is our consent agenda. This is generally a group of items that the council approves in one action unless there is a particular item that a member of the council would want to pull for individual discussion or action. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to comment on any of the consent items. And we will allow you to do that at this time. If there is any member of the public that would like to comment on consent items 8A through 8I on the agenda, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Okay, we're not seeing anyone race to the microphone, so we'll go ahead and close community comments or public comment on the consent agenda and bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items to be pulled this evening?
Could we pull 8H just for a quick discussion?
H?
H, the undergrounding.
Okay. Any others? All right. If there are no others, then I will entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8I, with the exception of 8H.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, is there anything else, anything to read in there this evening?
No, Mayor.
Okay, roll call, please.
Council Board Member Dickens?
Yes.
Council Board Member Arnold?
Yes.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Farrar?
Yes, thank you. All right, Mayor Pro Tem, 8H.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't talk to you about this earlier. I just wanted to clarify on the undergrounding here. There was discussion at one time about the ability to either borrow county funds for the undergrounding funds. Would the RDA be reimbursed for the undergrounding costs once they've been, if we had actually accomplished them, would we be able to get reimbursement from those funds for the work once we did it?
No, actually, we checked into that. It's really two separate, completely pots of money for two separate purposes. They're two separate units at PG&E that you work with. One is an ongoing credit program where over time you build up credits within PG&E that they're required to provide by law, and you schedule those projects gradually as your credits can pay for the work that's being done. That work we've targeted and actually are working very aggressively right now to move up the schedule, but right now all of Grand Avenue is probably 3 to 4 years away. These projects are classified like any other new construction project where they have a different unit that comes out and actually charges the business, or in this case the city would help subsidize that. But those funds kind of go into a whole different PG&E account and don't qualify for the credit work.
All right, thank you.
But yeah, we had the same question and we did look into that.
That was my only clarification.
Okay. Any other discussion on 8H? All right. I'll entertain a motion.
I move approval of 8H from the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Dickens?
Yes.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to item 9, public hearings. Our first and only public hearing this evening is 9A, consideration of adoption of an ordinance adding Chapter 3.22, Title 3 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code. Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council. At the June 27th meeting, the City Council approved placing on the November ballot a local sales tax measure to generate revenue necessary to meet future important city needs that were identified in the city's long-range financial planning process. Since that time, staff received recommendations from the State Board of Equalization for some minor changes to the ordinance, and also recommended that the council independently adopt the ordinance prior to the election, obviously contingent upon approval of the voters at the election, in order for the Board of Equalization to administer that tax if approved. And so in order to ensure that the process was done correctly, we've brought this back before you for reconsideration with those minor modifications to the resolution and ordinance, and respectfully recommend your approval. The ordinance was introduced at the last meeting, so both the resolution and ordinance are ready for final approval this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions or clarifications? Okay, If there are no clarification to the staff report, this is a public hearing. Any member of the audience that would like to come forward on 9A, this would be an opportunity. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing portion of 9A and start this off with Council Member Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really don't have much to add from what we've talked about this over the past several meetings. I completely support this. I will continue to support this, and I hope that we have luck at the ballots in November. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
I'll make my comments equally as brief as Mr. Arnold's. I support this and look forward to getting it on the ballot and hope that we get the support of the voters out there to get this in place so we can move forward and do the kind of things we're going to need to do with the revenue we'll raise.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can support the resolution and ordinance as presented by staff.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I can support the resolution and ordinance as well.
Okay, my turn. I will make it unanimous. We covered the changes, and I think they're things that we needed to attend to that we didn't the first time around, and now it's ready to go, and I support it fully. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose an ordinance of the City of Arroyo Grande adding Chapter 3.22 to Title 3 of Arroyo Grande Municipal Code establishing a transaction and use tax to be administered by the State Board of Equalization.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Would you like me to read the resolution?
Is there there's another one in there, isn't there?
There's actually four actions in all that's okay. Recommended.
If you're on a roll, go.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose a resolution to the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande ordering the submission to the qualified electors of the city a measure and four advisory measures relating to the establishment of a local transaction and use tax sales tax at the general election to be held on Tuesday, November 7th, 2006, as called by resolution number 3925.
Okay, we have a motion and second by Councilmember Costello. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes.
I want to clarify, is it Exhibit A, the ordinance? Is that the...
No.
Is it the resolution for the impartial analysis? That's the next one. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to propose a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande setting priorities for filing written arguments regarding a city measure and directing the city attorney to prepare an impartial analysis.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. And you have the last one?
I found it.
Okay.
I propose a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande providing for the filing of rebuttal arguments for city measures submitted at municipal elections.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. All right, that takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none this evening. Item 11 is new business, consideration of appointment of a voting delegate and alternate for the League of California Cities.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The League of California Cities annual conference this year will take place on September 6th through the 9th. And one of the most important activities in this conference is the annual business meeting to be held on Saturday, September 9th, in which the membership takes action on conference resolutions. The delegates from each city are appointed to participate in that vote. And so the city, as has done in the past, is asked to, amongst the council that will attend, to select, designate a voting voting delegate as well as an alternate voting delegate. So we place this on the agenda this evening for you to provide us that direction.
Okay. Well, first, let's make a determination how many members of council are planning to go to the annual conference.
I'm not certain I'll be able to go.
I'm uncertain I'll be able to go as well.
I'm not certain either. I'd like to go, but I'm not sure whether I'm going to be going or not.
All right. I would make a motion that Councilmember Arnold be the primary delegate, and I would be the alternate.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
See how easy that is?
Thank you.
Thanks for volunteering.
Thanks for letting me go first.
All right, that takes us to 11B, consideration of fiscal year 2006-2007 budget. Good evening, Angie.
Good evening, Mayor. And
Finance Director and second base person extraordinaire.
Shh, you're not supposed to tell. Tonight I'm presenting the fiscal year 2006-2007 budget update report. This report provides three things. First, it reconciles the adopted 2006-07 budget with adjustments that were made in fiscal year 05-06. Second, it recommends budget adjustments for council approval. And lastly, it provides the impact of all the adjustments on the fund balances of the city funds. Although budget adjustments are recommended across several funds, in this report, the emphasis remains on the general fund. The general fund is deemed to be the most critical as it provides most of the services commonly associated with the government, such as public safety, recreation, parks, building and planning, and it is primarily funded by tax-supported revenue sources which have little flexibility for adjustment. In this report, staff is requesting a decrease in general fund revenue of approximately $89,000. This decrease is primarily due to the fact that the VLF gap loan of $284,000 was budgeted to be received this fiscal year. However, this revenue was actually repaid by the state in fiscal year 2005-06 and should be removed from the current budget. The offsetting increase in revenue of approximately $195,000 is based on current data that was not available when the original budget was prepared. It includes an increase in the triple flip VLF funding, increase in live scan revenue, adjustments to personnel transfers, and additional insurance refunds from the California Joint Powers Association. In addition to the adjustments to the general fund revenue, staff is requesting an increase of approximately $652,000 in general fund appropriations. This is due to salary and benefit adjustments, council-approved adjustments, and proposed departmental adjustments. An actual beginning fund balance for fiscal year 2006-07 is difficult to predict for the following reasons. Fiscal year 2005-06 has not been officially closed. Revenue earned in fiscal year 2005-06 but not received by June 30th has not been recorded. Capital transfers to the CIP fund have not been made, and expenses incurred in fiscal year 2005-06 are still being recorded. For the purposes of this report, staff used the estimated ending fund balance reported in 2005-06 third quarter budget report as the beginning fund balance for fiscal year 2006-07. The projected general fund balance for fiscal year 2006-07 after the approved and proposed adjustments is approximately $2.3 million, or 17% of appropriations. However, the projected fund balance assumes revenues are received exactly as budgeted, all budgeted expenditures are made, and all capital transfers required by the CIP program are completed. Historically, transfers and expenditures have been less than budgeted. Therefore, it is likely that the ending fund balance will be higher than projected. At this time, I'd be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Okay. Thank you. Are there questions for Angie? Okay. This is not a public hearing, but we typically open these issues to the public. If there is anyone who would like to come forward and comment on item 11B, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Okay. No one? We'll close public comment and bring this back to the council. And Councilmember Dickens, why don't you lead off, if you would, please.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I have no questions for staff, and I have no concerns about the approved budget adjustments and staff's recommendation this evening. So with that, I will certainly support staff's recommendation for the items presented.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
I'd like to thank staff for their work in getting the updated information together, and I have no questions or concerns about it either. I can support the recommendations made by staff.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, can support everything as proposed. I am very pleased with the way the report has been presented. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Yeah, I too, comment staff on the report. I think that's probably why there's no questions on it. I also comment staff on delivering the budget pretty much as proposed. I mean, I realize there are certainly adjustments as always, but we knew most of the adjustments going in. So I want to compliment you on that as well, and I certainly don't have any trouble accepting the budget adjustments as proposed.
Well, my statements are complimentary as well. I know this year in particular, with everything that's going on, this has been a little more complex than previous years, and the fact that you've been able to put this forth in this kind of an easy-to-understand format and make sense of all those complexities, it's very much appreciated. So good work. With that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move that we approve the budget adjustments listed in the budget update report, approve the request for additional appropriations in the general fund as submitted, and find that pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 33334.3, that the plan and administrative expenses charged to the low and moderate income housing fund are necessary for the production, improvement, or preservation of low and moderate income housing.
I can second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Arnold?
Yes.
Council Board Member Diggins?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes, thank you. Takes us to 11C, discussion of the Arroyo Grande Creek Watershed and Creek Memorandum of Understanding. Hi, Teresa. How are you?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Tonight, we're here to introduce a draft memorandum of understanding. At the June 27th meeting, the council directed staff to prepare a draft MOU for council discussion. The MOU before you is intended to provide a multi-agency framework to develop recommendations and policies and to fund programs for the maintenance, protection, and enhancement of the Arroyo Grande Creek watersheds and creeks within the watershed. The watershed includes approximately 86 square miles downstream of the Lopez Lake Dam and includes the Arroyo Grande, Los Barros, Tally Ho, Tar Springs, and Meadow Creeks and sub-watersheds. The purpose of this MOU is to provide a better overall understanding and accountability and consensus between various parties and stakeholders within our watershed. And we're attempting to provide for more cooperation. It has been demonstrated that a cooperative management of a watershed provides for a powerful resource in developing creative solutions and addressing critical problems and leveraging resources to ensure efficient and effective use of public funds. For the purpose of this meeting, the council is encouraged to review and provide comment on this preliminary working draft MOU and make any changes deemed appropriate and to authorize distribution to involved agencies, and then a revised document can come back before you at a future meeting. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but first I'd like to turn it over to the mayor as you were instrumental in spearheading this MOU effort.
Well, I just found out that I probably shouldn't have done what I've already done. Well, yeah, some additional background, I think, is probably in order. Most of you know that we've been involved, myself personally, in the Zone 11A Task Force, and I go to some of the advisory board meetings for the Zone 11A flood control district down there. And this is something that the advisory committee and the task force has been waiting for. You heard the, I'm sure, all of the work that went into the development of the Prop 218 ballot measure and the successful election that took place in that area. The people in the so-called area of benefit, in fact, voted to assess themselves at a greater level so that they could ensure that proper maintenance of the creek would be forthcoming. So now that the board has taken action and they approved the election, the vote was overwhelmingly in favor of the assessment. So the Prop 218 election was very successful. The board also put forth an action that rescinded their previous action, which really began the controversy, and that was the whole issue about relinquishing control of the flood control area to the Department of Water Resources, which would have put a tremendous fiscal strain on the residents down there. So round one has gone well. Round two is now before us, and this is where the work actually begins. And so what we needed was some sort of a template that we could move forward with all of the stakeholders and determine what their scope of responsibility was going to be. And I would, I'd like to modify a little bit as far as Teresa is concerned. We might want to take a look at, as far as her statement about what we can approve or what we should approve. Right now, what we should be focusing on is what is written in terms of our specific tasks as it relates to Arroyo Grande. If you have any general comments about the structure of the boilerplate or the template of the MOU, then we can also discuss that. The roles and responsibilities of the other stakeholders has not yet been determined. And specifically, the two principal agencies that are going to have to make that primary determination is the county and the Resource Conservation District. And until we determine what their roles are going to be, specifically as it relates to operation and maintenance of the creek in Zone 11A, we really can't move forward with this. But what you see before you, and I need to really compliment Tim and Teresa, because I understand, Teresa, that you had a hand in putting together a lot of the language in here. But this was far and away more than I ever expected to get back, and I'm very pleased. And Tim, that this is where I sort of jumped ahead, because they've been waiting for this, and we had a meeting the other day, an advisory committee meeting, and so I explained to everyone that this was in draft form, but here it was, and they were very happy and pleased to get it. It was more than they expected. We have task force meeting schedules now to focus on those specific tasks with representatives from those stakeholder agencies. So that's the work that lies ahead of us. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that this process is sort of already moving a little bit, but that doesn't mean that we can't come back. Everything is unwrapped right now. Doesn't mean that if you have heartburn with some of the language in here that we can't change it, but I specifically indicated to them that that everything is sort of in motion right now. If they don't like what's written about their organization in terms of specific tasks and responsibilities, then they can change it. And so at a point in time, we'll have consensus, and when that happens, the next step will be to develop a specific, I should say, project-specific work plan about or directed at actual maintenance projects on the creek, and then we can look at funding, which may include grants. So that's where we are in the process. It's moving forward in the right direction, and this is an excellent tool to keep us going. So with that, Any questions or comments? Had a chance to take a look at it? Yeah.
I just had one. I'll combine them both. As far as the AG piece goes, I thought it was well written. I have absolutely no problems whatsoever. The only thing that I saw a little bit that seemed a little open-ended was the under the funding. I guess it's basically the last sentence where it says the parties shall make available other reasonable and proportionate fundings and resources necessary to implement. I'm a little concerned with that because I'm not sure how that shall part could be determined, if whether other bodies could determine that we were responsible or something. So I might like to see the word shall to may. I'd like to keep our kind of commitment to what we're going to fund kind of determined in-house and not be determined by other parties.
Okay. Feedback at all, Tim?
I have no problem with that change. Again, this was a stab in the dark, and funding was the biggest question mark as to how to approach it. So I certainly defer to the council as to how they want to modify that section.
Yeah, I sort of agree this sentence needs to be softened a little bit, but if you look at the sentence in its entirety, the party shall make available other reasonable and proportionate funding and resources necessary to implement watershed maintenance, protection, enhancement efforts and programs, including through staffing, grants, voluntary contributions, and or other similar resources. So, I have no issue at all changing it to May.
And the only reason is because we're talking about so many groups, and I don't want to end up seeing us on a hook for something that I think we're going to be probably a lead agency here and probably in front of a lot of it. So I'm not real concerned with that, but I could see that as maybe giving away some control.
Yeah. And I would not be surprised if that were a concern of some of the other stakeholder agencies as well. What about the rest of you?
One quick question. Under Section G on page 3 of 7 for Rio Grande, it says provides places for and facilitate meetings, partner on grant applications, assist in developing other funding sources, and improve land use development standards. Now, when we talk about improving land use development standards, are we talking about improving our own standards, or are we talking about making suggestions and recommendations to other people how they should improve theirs?
My take on that was that and I think, if I recall, the guidance, if you will, that I gave to Tim when I asked him if he would do this was that what we tried to capture was the direction that we're going in now. For example, we put a moratorium on until we could strengthen our standards, and we have the 25-foot setback, and those are all part and parcel land use development standards, drainage plan, stormwater management. What I wanted to do was capture what we were doing now.
And I guess that the key to that is the last three words in the sentence are within the city, so that
right.
contains it all to that. And then
right.
that's fine. That makes a lot of sense. I have
okay.
no problem with that.
Jim, anything?
I just had one question and then a couple of comments. Where is the representation, or should there be representation from Zone 1-1A in this document? Does that come directly from the county as an advisory, or does it, or are they a separate group, or can they be separated out?
Well, if you look at the parties that are listed in this, they comprise, for the most part, with the exception of the private participants, the landowners, but for the most part, they're represented in the stakeholder agencies. So this sort of, with the exception of non-government private sector individuals, namely those that represent agriculture or the ag industry, they're represented in here in the form of the other agencies. Would your recommendation be that there be specific tasking given to Zone 11A Advisory Committee?
No, you're far more familiar with this. My only question, and it will go back to the agricultural resources, is the only agencies I see that are directly involved in agricultural resource protection is specifically the RCD and the NRCS. Mm-hmm. That's fine if the folks that are involved with Zone 11A, which I think was a big catalyst to get some of this stuff moving, are okay with this, then I'm okay with it. I just was asking whether that was a problem for them.
Well, it's certainly a question I can ask at the next meeting. Okay. If there's willingness to do that. And I guess the other question I would ask of you, Tim, is does it change the complexion of this MOU at all if we invite private stakeholders in along with the public sector?
No, I think it would enhance its effectiveness. And the issue came up as to whether we should include Zone 11A as a separate entity. We decided not to, basically for funding reasons, because its funding is dependent on assessments, and that's clearly not going to be a component of the funding of the MOU, at least not a mandatory component. But I think it's probably a good suggestion, and I think you should throw it out and see how the group reacts to it. But it's certainly something that should be looked at.
And I don't mind doing it. As Councilmember Dickens, offers that suggestion, right, what's coming to my mind is kind of continuing the background coordination, kind of the base coordination for everything. So I can see, and that certainly would involve agriculture and the representation from agriculture on the on the committee. So let me float that and see what they say.
Well, if you don't mind, I've got a couple of other things I'd like
sure,
to
go right
throw
ahead.
Out. As far as the City of Arroyo Grande under G, I don't really have any problems. I think that we could probably expand that down the road if need be. But I think that we've always been a supportive city to the efforts in the bigger picture. So I see that that's certainly listed here, and I don't have any heartburn with the language under the funding area. I think that it to me it's open-ended, and it helps us look at the other areas of how individuals, not only ourselves but other agencies, can get involved, not necessarily just from a financial giving money, but volunteer grants and contributions in that way. I think we've done that in the past with a lot of these grants. Do want to have support from multi-agencies, and I think that's important. Just a couple of comments. First, the NRCS, throughout the document, it needs to be Natural Resources Conservation Services. So that's just a typo there. And then under principles, item 3, 3C, I this is where I came up with the Zone 11A and kind of the catalyst for a lot of this and the flood control. When we look at Arroyo Grande Creek, Arroyo Grande Creek really becomes a flood control channel when it enters Zone 11A. And that flood control channel was really put together to protect our agricultural resources. And I'd like to add under C or any other area that might be appropriate, but it talks about provide a practical and effective means for maximizing benefits in minimizing adverse impacts on riparian wetland, and I'd like to add agricultural resources and other ecological or ecosystem habitats within the watershed. I realize that the emphasis here is really probably in-stream types of ecosystems, but the real key reason why Zone 11A was developed to begin with was really to help channel the creek in a flood event and protect agricultural resources, and that needs to be a key component, especially in the when we're looking at a total watershed. So whether it's in 3C or whether it's in another area, I think that needs to be an area that we need to address as a watershed.
So let me clarify real quick. If C were to read provide a practical and effective means of maximizing benefits and minimizing adverse impacts on agricultural resources, riparian wetlands, and other ecosystem habitat.
Perfect.
Anybody have an issue with that? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then the last two items are just mainly just when this does come back to us, I'd like to first ask whether the Habitat Conservation Plan, which is listed under Area 5, and the Swanson Study, first of all, have those been adopted? Have they been completed and adopted? And if so, I think it's appropriate for us to look at those studies and to look at the best management practices, or at least get maybe a synopsis. We don't need those big. I brought this one here, but I don't believe that. I'm not even sure whether this has been adopted yet, and whether there's been modifications. So I guess what I'm asking staff is one to give me, when this does come back, give us an update on these particular resource items that are kind of working through the works. I know we had the county come out and do give us an update on this, and maybe Joe, you would know whether Zone 3 has actually adopted this final draft or not. But if so, I think it'd be nice to maybe get an idea what those recommendations are, what those best practices are. And I looked all over my resources, and I couldn't find the Swanson study. And either I've never received that, or I've lost it. And if so, I'd like to get another copy of that, because I think that has a lot of good, valuable information. So when that comes back to us.
Certainly. You can pick one up at City Hall at any time, but we'll be able to provide some supplemental materials for anything that's listed under the specific tasks. In our very preliminary comments and feedback we got in a couple days after this MOU's draft was generated, it was discussed the potential or possibility or of listing out the tasks that are the recommendations in each of these reports in an exhibit to this, perhaps for the ease later in trying to prioritize these things. So the HCP is, I don't believe, in final, has been finally adopted. And also, this will be a document that will have to carry us forward into the future, so there'll always be more resources added, and to try to word that or make sure that that's acknowledged in this initial document is something we're working on.
Tracy, do you know whether the Swanson study has been adopted, and if so, by whom?
Well, the Swanson study is finalized. It's simply a data document providing information as to the sedimentation problems in Arroyo Grande Creek. So that is, it's available for informational purposes, and it has been used in our attempts to get grants to address some of the problems that were identified in that report.
Thank you. Those are all my comments.
Okay. I believe, I'll have to double check, but I believe indirectly the Board of Supervisors did take some, again, indirect action in recognizing the Swanson study, but I'm not certain of that. And it was done because of the fact that the study was a requirement, and it was related somewhat, I think, to the it was a requirement of DWR that an alternative study be conducted. And But the important element of this, and it's one that really supports the notion of bringing it back and sharing it with all of you, because certainly to the extent that Arroyo Grande will be involved, the Swanson study is a pivotal document because it's going to provide the basis of a scope of work for us. It's going to provide a basis to outline specific work that is to be done. And it's not just limited to the area of benefit in Zone 1. It's a watershed study, and therefore projects that are alluded to in that report are in the city limits in our creek system. So it is an important document that needs to be brought forth, and it will be, I'm certain, at some point. Or if you want one now, you can pay, what is it, $50 and see Teresa? Just kidding.
Mr. Mayor, it's probably a good opportunity to also brief the council that we've initiated this creek working group, kind of a staff technical working group that we meet monthly with our staff, Salmon Enhancement, the RCD, to do just that, to utilize that Swanson study, identify specific projects, and move forward in the meantime with our own efforts to try to obtain some grant funding for specific projects that impact Aurora Grandy particularly, and that effort's underway, and we've had a few meetings already.
Right, and I think it's also important to note that through this process, what we've initiated is some form of a network, and I guess you could call it a formal network, with both RCD, the Resource Conservation District, and NRCS. And I know that NRCS has helped us with some of our ongoing projects, and in fact, some of the recent ones that Council has approved. Particularly as it relates to those adjacent to the creek. They've helped us with hydrology issues and engineering issues to try and accommodate drainage and minimize the impact on the creek. So this has been a very positive alliance that has come forth as a result of this effort, and we look forward to more of that same type of relationship in the future. Any other comments on this? Okay, once again, this is not a public hearing, but if there are members of the public who would like to comment on item 11C, this would be an opportunity. Okay, seeing none, close public comment and bring it back to council. Any further discussion, or can we entertain a motion?
I did four already.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think what the motion
would be. Then let me start with Council Member Costello.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I'll make a recommendation that we go ahead and authorize you to distribute the draft MOU to the involved agencies with the recommended changes that were placed forward tonight.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Oh, second.
And discussion. The only discussion I have on the motion is that the Zone 11A Task Force, I believe, will be meeting next week, Thursday or Friday, and I will carry forth the modifications that we've made this evening and make sure that they make them on their draft copies, and that will be the base that we work from. So once again, Tim and Teresa, this is a great piece of work. Well done. I appreciate it, and so did everybody else.
Before we move on, sometimes you have to drag staff kicking and screaming. That was the case in this one. But I want to thank you for the foresight you've shown in this very important issue and the leadership role you've taken. When you structure the document, you realize how critical it is to the future health of the city and to the entire area. So thank you.
Thanks. Okay. We were in discussion on the motion. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes, thank you. Takes us to item 12, City Council Reports. I'll go first. SLOCOG has not met. It will meet next Wednesday. We did have an executive board meeting, and what we did was set the agenda for the meeting that's going to occur next week. South County Sanitation District have been attending those meetings, and South County Sanitation District is a stakeholder, as is indicated in the last item, and so we are going to be talking about that. It will be a little bit interesting to see how it goes. We may wind up having to do a Prop 218 election as it relates to any kind of a pass-through if on our assessment. Related to that, you can expect in the near future we're doing a rate study for Sanitation District for Arroyo Grande, Oceano, and Grover. And Tuckfield and Smith is doing the study. And so we took a preliminary look at it, made some recommendations, and they're going to come back to the board. We're going to take a look at that, and then there will be a formal presentation made to the Oceano Community Services District and to both city councils in Grover and here as well. And they will take your feedback as relates to a proposed rate increase for the sanitation district. I think once you see some of the capital improvements that have occurred out there and what our work plan is for the future, one thing about sanitation districts and sanitation plants, there's no components that are inexpensive out there. Everything costs a lot. And so if we want to keep that thing running smoothly, we're going to have to do something about the operating budget. But we're not here tonight to discuss the pros and cons of that. But that's something that's going to be forthcoming in the near future. And in addition to that, we also approved the budget for 06-07. And that concludes my report. And we will move to Mayor Pro Tem.
I did miss the June EVC meeting. The July one is tomorrow. I will say that in response to some of the concerns that we had regarding the EVC, that Steve's gotten together with the Roy Grande Chamber of Commerce and the EVC, as well as the Cuesta College program, to kind of ensure that, in fact, we're getting the maximum use out of these various programs. I believe we're calling it a strike force. And right now it's kind of a memorandum draft form to actually put together something more formal where we can ensure that, in fact, we're getting the maximum economic development out of these various programs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mine are brief because the two boards that I sit on haven't met since the last time we gave a report, so I have no report this evening.
Okay. Councilmember Costello.
And I'll be fairly brief also. The APCD has their bi-monthly meeting tomorrow, so I will be attending that. And I've been out of town for the past couple of weeks. I missed the last Zone 3 board meeting. And Fire Oversight Committees will be meeting in the near future, and I'll bring back reports on those.
Okay, thank you. And last but certainly not least, Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Both my boards and committees have taken the summer off, so nothing to report.
Okay. Item 13, City Council Member items. Anything this evening? Don't see anything. City Manager items?
Nope.
Council Communications.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a suggestion that staff possibly look into maybe giving commendations to the vendors that are giving the city discounted trees, possibly both Ben Joy and some of the vendors that donated a lot of material to the Tree Guild for the first phase.
Good suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, any other council communication?
Mr. Mayor, I just had one. Steve, in the past, graffiti removal has always been an important part, and I noticed that the trash bin area behind, next to the freeway over there by the miners' complex, has got graffiti on it again.
Yeah.
So
okay.
If you could just maybe direct our public works folks to take care of that.
Will do. I just reported another sighting on another location yesterday.
Okay, any other council communication? The only comment I had, Steve, was it's a good thing Rob is here as well. Made a comment the other day, I think informally, about the pizza wars on Grand Avenue and some of the signage and banners, and so I'm hoping we're looking into that.
We actually drove out there together this morning. Rob's been working on it. The neighborhood services folks have been working on it. Rob and I drove out together. It was this morning, yesterday morning, checked it out. We'd made some progress, it appeared. Some of the stuff had been taken down, but they haven't completely complied yet. So we're still on top of that, and that's a a priority concern for our neighborhood services program at this point in terms of code enforcement.
Okay, thank you. Staff communication? Anything?
Nope.
All right, that takes us to item 17, community comments and suggestion, our last public participation activity for the evening. Anyone would like to come forward? Okay. No takers? We'll close community comments and suggestions. That takes us to item 18, which is adjournment.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay. Thank you very much.